Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
In this current article, that is actually an audio episode, Discerning the Times, we cover CV19 and Fear God, Shun Evil. Now, at the top of the article, you'll see in the transcript, I've got a number of links to CV19 related information, as well as a few miscellaneous. So you'll want to check those out, start your research there, or continue your research there. I've not fully researched all of these myself, but I list them solely for your consideration in the transcript or at the article by the name Discerning the Times, CV19 and Fear God, Shun Evil over at studygrownoblog.com. Now I'm learning that fearing the Lord is a main underlying theme throughout the entirety of Scripture. Even when it's not directly mentioned, it is obviously implied. And in the book of Job, it is directly mentioned, quote, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?'" That's Job chapter 1, verses 1 and 8. Now, it's clear from this testimony that Job was blameless, he was upright, and he shunned evil. He shunned evil and therefore became blameless and upright. And I believe he was all of that because of the tremendous underlying reality that he feared the Lord and had cultivated that fear for years, maybe decades. Without that fear, he may have only looked blameless and upright on the outside, but God would have seen Job's heart on the inside. God saw that Job had the requisite fear of the Lord in his heart, a profound, awe-inspired, deep, reverential respect for God that was the essence of Job's character and which naturally promoted holy living. I doubt that God would have declared Job blameless or upright had this not been the case. Let me ask you a question. And I ask myself the same one. Have you ever tried to live the Christian life by forcing yourself to do and say the things that you know you should do and say with mixed results? You muscle through it all because, well, that's what Jesus would do, right? In Romans 7:24 through 25, Paul says, "We have been delivered from this body of death, but we're still in it, aren't we?" I believe Paul is actually trying to doctrinally negotiate the truth that we see in places like Job or Psalm 86:11, which says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." Christian victorious living in thought, word, and deed from the heart only happens as our godly fear of the Lord grows. It is not an accident that the Bible tells us in many areas of Scripture that the fear of the Lord goes hand in hand with pleasing God because it naturally results in true righteous living from the heart. And it is interesting that the lack of fear is how Paul describes the life of the average non-believer in Romans 3:18. But Job feared God, and because of that, he successfully shunned evil. This is such an important concept to grasp. You know, I went through years, literally, of thinking, well, victorious living occurs because of some second blessing, right? You may have heard the same thing. Not true. Victorious living as a Christian occurs as our fear of the Lord grows and takes root in our life. That fear of the Lord becomes the motivating factor to live righteously. To shun something means to actively turn away from it. Many of us, myself included, can and have done this with our own strength, right? We use it, we just muscle through it, which results in what Paul refers to as wood, hay, and stubble in 1 Corinthians 3:12 through 13 that burn up at the bema seat of God. Now, the best way to avoid sin and shun it is to have a deep-seated, abiding, growing fear of the Lord that is naturally repulsed and opposed to temptation to sin. From my ongoing biblical studies, it seems the greater a person's fear of the Lord, the greater their victory in Christ will be. Conversely, the less fear of the Lord a person has within them, the greater their failures will be. Let's look at a couple of examples. Genesis 3, let's go all the way back to the beginning. That's the chapter in which our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned against God through what? Rebellion, right? Okay, that was the specific sin. They rebelled against God, and because of their rebellion, became disobedient. Ultimately, I believe they sinned, though, because they did not fear God at all. Now, somebody's asking, what? How can you possibly believe that Adam and Eve should have feared God in the perfect environment of Eden prior to any sin? What are you saying? Well, look, if we understand fearing the Lord to be a deep, conscious, profound respect, love, and awe for Him, then I don't believe there's a contradiction here at all. If, on the other hand, we think of fearing the Lord in terms of being on the receiving end of God's judgment, then we do have a problem. Adam and Eve should not have ever been at a point of thinking God was going to judge them prior to the sin. They should never have been there. They had no reason whatsoever before they sinned to think that God was going to judge them. However, after they did sin, judgment is exactly what they feared. Adam even told God that he had been afraid when he heard God's voice, so he and Eve hid themselves because they were naked. He was afraid of God because of impending judgment. Now, prior to Adam and Eve's sin, I believe there should have been the type of fear of the Lord that causes a person to bow in deep awe before God's majesty, the created before the creator. At the very least, they both should have clearly had absolute respect for God's one command given to them. That should have been something that they absolutely hung on to and decided, no, never are we going to do that because we fear the Lord. We respect, we are in awe of Him, we love Him, we worship Him. But they didn't. They began questioning it in their own minds, and then they embraced Satan's lie. Ultimately, they lacked any fear of the Lord. Now, it doesn't look to me that this existed prior to the fall. I don't see where the scriptures imply or tell us that they had a fear of God. I'm quite sure that Adam enjoyed God's presence and had absolutely no reason to be in judgmental fear of Him, right? Yet what seemed to be completely missing was any sort of profound reverence and abject awe for and of the creator of the universe. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't see that it existed. In the perfect environment of Eden, there was something missing that the unfallen angels actually had. They had a true fear of the Lord for who God is. I believe had Adam and Eve had that fear of the Lord in the same way the unfallen angels did, the temptation to sin might not have seemed quite so pleasing to them, and they may have overcome. Now, of course, we have no way of knowing, but in the end, it certainly seems like Adam and Eve sinned due to a complete lack of any fear of the Lord, which would have been the stopping point for them, and they would have gone no further. Now, during the coming millennial reign of Jesus in Revelation 20, let me ask you this question. Do you think we Christians with glorified bodies will not have this deep, profound awe or fear of God? Do you believe after the creation of the new heavens and the new earth that a palpable fear of the Lord will somehow be absent from those who inhabit the earth and that universe, Revelation 21 to 22? I believe fear of the Lord will be inseparably part of who we are as finished new creations in Christ. Ecclesiastes 12:13 is where Solomon comes to the end of his searching and realizes that the true purpose of humanity is to fear God and obey His commandments, right? We've gone over that before. Again, we see the twofold concept of fearing God tied with living correctly. You fear God, you obey His commandments. The positive side of this is to obey the commandments. The negative side is to shun evil. But they are simply two sides of the same coin. If we are obeying His commandments based on a fear of the Lord, then we are also shunning evil. We already know how Solomon failed God because he failed to fear the Lord. Isn't that correct? Because of that failure to fear God, he did the very things that God said he should not do, like marry pagan wives. These things he did because of a lack of fear. And by the way, this is proof that wisdom alone is not good enough. Wisdom, guided by a true fear of the Lord, is what is necessary. Now, why did Cain murder Abel? Genesis 4. Well, the immediate reason Cain murdered Abel was due solely to jealousy. However, the real underlying reason, I believe, was due to a complete lack of fear of the Lord from Cain. Fear of the Lord was completely absent in the life of Cain. Why did David spend so much of his life doing well, doing the right thing, being a man after God's own heart, but completely messed up in 2 Samuel 11, so that he lusts after Bathsheba, commits adultery with her, and then, to try to cover his own sin, has her husband Uriah murdered? It was due to the fact that leading up to that instance and during it, David lacked the fear of the Lord. Why was Joseph able to resist Potiphar's wife and her sexual propositions to him in Genesis 39? Because Joseph feared the Lord. This gave Joseph the strength he needed to resist. Why did Moses, who had spent years speaking to God face to face on that fateful day, strike the rock for water instead of obeying God's word and simply speaking to the rock? Numbers 20. Moses' anger toward Israel pushed out any fear of the Lord he had prior. This lack of fear resulted in his disobedience to God's command, and we know the results of it. I'm convinced that for the past 5 decades of my life, since I became a Christian, there were times of victory, all too few, and times of failure, all too many. I can clearly now see that my failures, whether in my attitude, words, or thoughts, occurred because I was not fearing the Lord. It is so obvious to me now that I sit there and I go, how come I never saw this before? Let's go back to Job. What is interesting about Job is even though he feared the Lord at the outset, chapter 1, verse 1, verse 8 of Job, God allowed Satan to put the fear of the Lord to the test. He wanted Satan to see that Job's fear of God was what propped him up and caused him to be blameless and live a life of uprightness and shunning evil. What is fascinating about the whole thing is that Job came out of the entire situation with an even greater fear of the Lord. And this should speak to us all as a reminder that we can never fear God enough in this life. There is always another level of fearing the Lord that we must seek to develop. In fact, our fear of the Lord will not be perfected in this life. Simply won't. But only when we receive our glorified bodies and our sin natures are then finally removed. Let's look at Isaiah 11, 2-4. We learn some very important traits of the coming Messiah, fulfilled in Jesus, of course. And among the things that Isaiah points out to us are these words. Let me read the verses. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. If Jesus was said hundreds of years before he came that he would have a spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord as well, as the fact that he would delight in that fear, how much more should we? I believe Christians must seek not just to have this fear of the Lord, but to delight in the fear of the Lord. It must become our overriding preoccupation. It is a process that begins when we receive salvation and needs to be cultivated until the day we are taken home. I do not believe anymore that we can actively shun evil in this life from the heart unless we are actively fearing the Lord. Even then, we can still make mistakes if we for a moment set our fear of the Lord aside. Brothers and sisters, may we seek to cultivate a true biblical fear of the Lord. And as a reminder to everyone who's reading this or listening to it, I've written a previous article that highlights biblical ways in which we can learn to cultivate that fear. And the article is named Would You Know God Part 2, and I've linked it in the transcript. Let me end this by asking you a couple of questions. Do you want victory in these days of growing evil and darkness? Do you want to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel 3, who had absolutely no fear of Nebuchadnezzar at all? Why? Because all three of them feared the Lord, and that fear allowed them to face the fiery furnace with near delight, thinking nothing of their own lives. Do you want that? Then if you do, I must cultivate a true fear of the Lord. Without it, we will be overcome. What say you? Thanks for joining me today, and I pray that until we meet again, the Lord will open your eyes and help you understand that you need to grow the fear of the Lord.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.